My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's the Fri-Yay Cocktail, presented by Anna Glavinsky.
I'm joined now by author of Seven Plants to Save the World, Carl Elliott Goff. And he's going to explain his thinking and research into some facts about common weeds. Good afternoon, Carl. How are you doing? If you just switch on your microphone, because you have it switched off there. Hello, how are you?
Can you hear me okay?
Got you perfect. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you very much.
So,
glad to hear.
Yeah, great to have you on. Really looking forward to picking your brains and hearing all about your research. You've been studying this for nearly a decade, specifically about these plants, I believe.
Absolutely.
What drew you to this research in the first place? Where did you get your hunch or your hypothesis from?
Well, I was a nutritionist, I'm a herbalist, but basically the underline would be why are we getting cancer, heart disease, illnesses, whereas our cousins in the tribal societies don't get the same diseases. So we're getting what's known as the disease of civilization. And I just thought that's incredibly paradoxical that, you know, civilization is killing us. We're at the height of observation and we thought scientific observation and things. And we're getting sick, we're getting ill, and it is the way that we live that's killing us. And I wanted to know why was that, basically. And yeah, that was 20 years ago I actually started doing it.
Wow. Okay. So I'm on your side, actually. I do really look around at society myself as well, lifestyle habits, you know, things that I believe could and should change. I see a lot of ill people around. But there is a question there, you know, a hard question that I think needs to be justified first. You say we're living in a sort of a sick society, but we're living longer than ever. You know, life expectancy is right up there, better than, I believe, any time ever in history. What's your argument about that? What have you got to say about the state of health of our society?
We're sick. I think we're sicker, younger and longer. And a lot of the problems we're looking at is the average age of death, isn't it? See, so Victorian times, a lot of mothers died during childbirth, one in five. Yeah. One in five children died before the age of five. So that's massively impacting on the statistics of average age of death. But actually, tribal societies, yes, they do die a little bit younger, but it's not as much as we think it is necessarily. And they're not having the same diseases as us. So yes, we are living longer, but then we find that a lot of us are having degenerative diseases in the last 10, 15 years of life are probably an awful for a lot of people that are going through these degenerative diseases, whether and dementia's on the rise. So yeah, and the first book I did, Seven Deadly Whites, basically outlined the food chain. The problem has to lie in the food chain. We're not getting the nutrients that we were getting, even what our grandparents were getting, you know, before the Second World War and just after. We're getting up to an eighth of the nutritious content in the food. And of course, less people are eating food, you know, fresh food. It's all processed food now. So yeah, I'd say the fundamental problem is the food we're eating and also the man-made chemicals.
I think anybody listening to this must at least be able to nod along at some point, you know, if they're not directly impacted by the things that you're saying. We all know somebody, you know, we're all know somebody directly who is suffering from these sorts of illnesses. What's, I mean, do you think that there's a one hat fits all with changing your diet could help with all sorts of different diseases, or are there different plants that you sort of see as medicines that you could treat different diseases with, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we can generalise amongst the population, but obviously we are all individuals. We all have different allergies, you know, and we're used to different foods, etc. But I think, yes, some plants in the book, I have emphasised that these are called human plants, the seven plants to save the world book. And they're human plants because these are plants we've evolved on. Wherever humans have evolved throughout the world, we have eaten these plants, and these plants would have been the staples. And nettles is the prime example of that. You know, they do grow wherever we have evolved, be that Africa, Asia, and in Europe as well. And we've always eaten them up until 1950, and they do have within them a unique phytochemicals that only nettles have, for instance. And you know, the book explains that nettles, they could well be a good, hopefully a cure, certainly prevention for neurodegenerative diseases from the neurological system, so your nerves. And they have a particular enzyme in nettles that helps with the nervous system. And there's so many diseases now that are based around the nervous system, certainly dementia.
That's absolutely fascinating. I didn't know that humans evolved around a certain number of plants. And it makes so much sense that, you know, if we've always eaten them, then, you know, we've adapted with them. So what are the seven plants? Obviously, you've mentioned nettles there. What are the other ones?
Yes, we've got nettles, dandelions. We all know, and these are common plants. I mean, you look around us, wherever you are in the garden, you will find six of these plants within 100 metres, and that could be almost anywhere in the world. So we've got dandelions, yarrow, plantain, not banana. Plantain's a very common, I hate the word weed, but a wild plant that grows everywhere in disturbed lands. Cannabis is also one. Obviously, it's a little bit controversial, but hemp has got an incredible history with humans, and it has been vilified. Then we have the only tree, but instead of plant, hawthorn, and blackberry. Blackberry is probably the only plant that we still do forage generally and understand that that is food in the wild. So that's kept our tenuous link with Mother Earth almost, I believe.
And these plants, do you recommend that they're something that you could use as a medicine, or they actually could fulfill a diet? You know, are you talking like plant pie, you know, get full up on a nice nettle salad?
Absolutely, yeah, because obviously we eat seasonally. If we're living a more natural, in line with how nature expects us to live, we'd be living with the foods that come out. So blackberries, I mean, before they fruit, you can eat the leaves, the buds, absolutely gorgeous. And then the fruit, obviously you can eat kilos of the fruit a week. Nettles, the same thing, it'd be soups. And it'd be just in, you know, as a general pot herb, they call it. Any of the herbs that go in pots. But, you know, we eat herbs today and we have a little sprinkle of dried herbs. Well, that's madness, because the herbs are the most nutritious part of the meal often, and we're having a tiny amount, fresh herbs as much as you can. Dandelion, not so much, but you certainly be having it in a salad, and the same with yarrow as well. But they do have specific reasons, and the yarrow you can tincturate and things like that. Plantain, the same thing, you're better off having a tincture and just a couple of leaves in the salad. And hawthorn, you've eaten the haws or the leaves early in the year as well. So nettles and blackberry in quantity, the other ones less so, unless you want to do and what we're calling as nutraceuticals. And that's kind of the opposite of a pharmaceutical, which is a toxic methodology towards your health, whereas a nutraceutical looks at the best nutrients to bring about health.
Could you just give us a bit of a description or breakdown of those two words and how they work in the medical industry?
Well, absolutely. A pharmaceutical, obviously, that's what we have. And incredibly, the third biggest killer of industrialised human beings is something called iatrogeny, and that's a death by medical intervention. And up to 750,000 people die every year from prescribed drugs, basically. Clearly, people are taking prescribed drugs because they're not very well, but it doesn't mean that it has to be the death of them, and it will then cause other side effects and everything. So it's a very toxic way to begin trying to cure someone from an illness. And obviously, being a herbalist, we look at prevention, and the best way of having prevention is to have nutraceuticals. So it's just a portmanteau of the nutrition and the pharmaceutical aspect, but it's not a pharmaceutical, it's a nutraceutical. So you are eating the foods that have the highest concentration. You've got an iron deficiency, I suggest nettles and chickweed, for instance. Things like that, obviously vitamin C, we know we can have the fruits. And again, nettles. Nettles really are the one, I would say, though. They have such an incredible array of the nutrients that humans need, and they seem to bioassimilate as well, because they have all the cofactors as well.
And How do you say that people can incorporate this into their diet? Obviously, sorry, I know you have just given us a couple of suggestions, but should people be, in your opinion, completely getting rid of everything else that they're accustomed to eating or certain foods and just trying to incorporate these plants? Or are you saying don't eat anything else, just eat these seven plants?
No, that was the problem in my first book, that it scared people away from dairy, sugars and everything. No, I think the most important thing that humans need to do is have a reconnection back with Mother Earth and realise that actually she is Mother Earth. You know, it's where we all come from. Everything comes from nature, obviously, and we are a product of nature. And the human species seems to have disassociated herself with that. So, you know, the big buzzword in England at the moment is rewilding, as if they're getting patches of land and rewilding. But I think what we need to do is rewild the human so the human can accept its place within society, as it were, in the nature and the world. So it's not a radical change, but I think it needs to plant the seed, and that's what the book does, because it will show you that you only need to have take the tops of the nettle and just put them in the drink, you know, and then you've been introduced to the nettle that way as well. And then if you're interested, you think, well, how else can I utilize the nettle? And then you make a soup, and then it progresses from there. And if you have no interest at all in plants, you know, picking them, then you have no interest and you won't further that interest. But hopefully most people, especially when they're ill, say with arthritis, it's such a simple cure just to eat some nettle leaves, you know, for a few days. And when you can see the veracity of the claims that it does work, then people will incorporate it a little bit more and it becomes more fashionable. It gets more, you know, like I'm trying to do now as well, you know, more media coverage and everything, because it is just the plants that we've evolved on. And I find it almost ludicrous that we have become so disconnected, and it's sad as well. So that's not the only solution, obviously, but we have other problems as well to do with chemicals. But the plants is a really good way of reconnecting, and it reconnects everyone from every culture, from every country.
And why do you think that we have got to this stage of such a disconnect? And what would you say to people who obviously follow medical science, who haven't seen the backup for these plants in, you know, the things that they're studied or the things that they're told about?
Money. Every single path I've looked through, all the 20 years of study, it's always money. Economical viability. So you're not going to have nettles succeeding or taking over from the anti-inflammatories, the NSAIDs, for instance, because they're worth £30 billion a year worldwide. So if suddenly you lose £30 billion worldwide in all the GDPs and the coffers, the governments are up in arms about it, because nettles would not make £30 billion a year. So that is the stumbling block, and it truly is. And the medical profession needs to educate itself as well, because they're basically just drug dispensaries. And the herbal powders I make, whenever I do have doctors as clients now, it's really encouraging, because then they know both sides of the story. They know the Western medicine, but there is another side to health, and Western medicine is often detrimental to health.
And do you know what? I think there are more and more doctors in that system who are being open-minded to that understanding, actually, at least in my experience. So it's great to hear that you've got doctors coming to you and talking to you about this and trying this. I've got a question. Have you, or can you count, recount firsthand anyone who's tried to use these plants in to heal themselves, to cure themselves from something, and it's been successful? You know, just putting that human element into what you're talking about.
I've got loads, of course. Yeah, I'm a herbalist, and I wouldn't be as arrogant as to say I've cured people, because I think it's just a step. But a friend of mine came to me with leukemia. Yeah, a blood disorder. And I said, well, I'm actually researching blackberries now. He had the money to buy organic blackberries. So there's no detrimental chemicals involved. And after 1 month of eating about 300 grams of blackberries and other berries and currants every single day, the oncologist, you know, was amazed at his wonder figures, you know, and he's no longer ill. He's in remission. It's a continuing thing, but he's no longer ill. Plenty of women that have problems with menstruation and menopause take my green Gaia powder that I make. And yeah, they swear by it. I mean, as a cohort, I'd say my powder seems to be particularly good for women.
Wow, that's really interesting. I know that Selena, one of our presenters, is doing some menopause sessions. So it's like getting groups of women together and talking about the effects of menopause on them. So perhaps they'd be really interested to talk to you as well. It sounds like you have a lot to share. I just wondered about any negative backlash that you have to come across in your line of work. You know, people who perhaps come from the other side of the coin or, you know, maybe even really verbally are against what you're doing. Does that happen?
Well, I've been really prepared and expecting it every single day almost, but no, I haven't. Wow. Every doctor that reads the first book, they're like, wow, absolutely bang on. They can't argue with the facts. And this book, the second book, is actually an epidemiological study. So I spent 6 years just reading incredibly boring medical literature, but predominantly from places that aren't under the pharmaceutical umbrella of the Western European sort of cult. So Iran, China, and places like that. And that's where I've got most of my medical research from, frankly, about dandelions and nettles, because we're not sending them the cancer drugs. That's one of the first things whenever we have restrictions on these countries, so they do their own medical research. How are we going to stop cancer in our country? So they've been looking at these plants, and it's only positive results. And in England and America, it was only positive results 20 years ago. And for some reason, the last 20 years, they have negative results for these same plants the rest of the world is finding positive results from. So I would say it's money again, and it's severe lobbying by the pharmaceutical industry, as it is for every industry, you know, stopping the government from using these wild, dangerous, crazy, wild plants.
Because here on It's a Friday Cocktail, I've spoken to another herbalist before who was very, very interesting, coming at it from a very different angle, almost exotically, because she was born in Peru, and she was talking about ancestral knowledge. Her grandmother was what was known as a witch doctor, and then she moved to the UK and studied science. So she's talking about plants that just seem like, to you and me, a bit exotic, a bit out there, but definitely coming from that same sort of standpoint as you. What I find really interesting about your book is that you're talking about weeds, aren't you?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Indeed, it's a subtitle: The Rise of the Weeds. Indeed. Yeah.
And what you said, that you didn't like the word weed. Why is that?
Because it's a derogative word, isn't it? You're weedy, you're weedling, and it's true. Not positive, is it? If it's a weed, it's in the wrong place. We're just going to dig it out. And the whole mindset for the garden toxic chemicals, the herbicides and et cetera, is to kill the weeds. It's a bit like the bacteria thing, isn't it? Everything's got to be antibacterial. But, 99% of bacteria is beneficial for us. And we need to. If we didn't have bacteria in our gut, we would die. We'd have all manner of diseases all the time. So, money and advertising, again, I think that really blurs the line between reality and what we need to do. So we need more professionals in the health industry becoming maybe naturopaths. It's a bit like farming. When we had organic farming coming through, a lot of farmers probably know deep down they should be organic, but it's difficult because they can't guarantee the crops. And there's always that fear that they won't get the crop. So it's the same kind of thing, I'd say. It's a good parallel between organic and now the herbalism kind of rise of.
Yeah, that's a good argument. It's a good argument. And finally, your book, who's it written? You've obviously justified it very thoroughly. You've backed it up with studies and science. So it sounds like it's very convincing. Is it an easy read?
You know what? I just met a neighbour as we were driving down and took my bike out, and she said, "I can't believe how funny you are." She was, she didn't want to read the book. She said, "I don't want to read about plants. It's a bit boring, really, and nettles." And she just said, "I had no idea you're that funny. The book is so easy to read." And I did try to make it conversational and lighthearted, because I can't force the facts down you. And there's 1,000 facts in the book, at least. It has to be a joy to read, and you want to read on, and you want to find out what the next thing to discover about these incredible plants that we see every single day.
Is it a picture book?
Oh, you know what? There was no. But I have so many photographs of the plants, but the finances and problems of the industry at the moment, I couldn't insert. I would love to insert it, just 4 lovely colour plates for every chapter. If we sell well on the book, I'm going to insist that we do, and I'll have to get my finger out and do the website, so I've got my photographs on there as well.
Yeah, well, let's insist that everyone gets their hands on this book then. It's called 7 Plants to Save the World. It's by Carl Elliott Goff. You can find it on Amazon or go and check it out on the Talk Radio Europe bookshop. Carl, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you today. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, thanks, Anna. I'm glad we got a connection this week. Fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it.
Goodbye.
Thank you.